Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. Welcome after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. We've got a great show lined up for you today because we've got our good friend John Wardlow back on the show. John is the author of Built to Sell and The Automatic Customer. He was a guy who founded Wardlow & Company and then turned around and sold it and made a nice little bit of change, and I'm proud of him for that. And the good news is, though, is he still likes giving back, and we appreciate the fact that he still wants to teach and help people like you and me get better with our businesses, and that's why he joins us on a regular basis. John Wardlow, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s, so I love your music bed coming in and out of commercial break. I mean, Van Halen, how do you do better than that?
It doesn't get any better than that, right? Especially with Jump, right? Right off the bat.
That's right.
Hey, John, thanks for being here. One of the things that a lot of small business owners face on a regular basis is having enough capital. They've cash flow is always tight. It's not always easy to make a profit. And so capitalizing growth, and, you know, I'm trying to help them understand that your cash flow is supposed to cover your operating, and you're supposed to cover your growth from your profits and, you know, from your capitalization strategy. But it's so hard, as you well know, as a small business. And a lot of times I hear small business owners talk about, you know, maybe I need to bring in an investor. Maybe I need to go out and do something a little more permanent so that I don't have the cash flow hit that debt service requires from a loan. And you've got some ideas on how people can improve their capital and their cash flow without actually selling into their company.
You bet. I mean, you're right. You know, finance the growth of the company is a challenge, and I say, you know, hold on to your equity, like a greedy child with a bag of M&Ms in his hand. I mean, just hold on to it because it will become valuable one day. So there's a few things that you can do to hang on. I mean, one thing is to try to charge up front, and a lot of people will say, oh, that sounds nice, but how do you do that? A lot of it is about productizing your service. So if you offer a service today, we're all used to paying for services after they've been rendered, but we're used to buying products before they're used. So when you go to Costco, you buy the toilet paper before you use it, as an example. So productizing your service, giving it a name, making it look like a thing as opposed to a service, can make a big difference in terms of your ability to charge up front. Because, again, if you create a brochure for your service, make it look like a product, name it, you actually can start to charge up front for it because, it's like buying a product. I guess one way to finance the growth of your business.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I agree with you. And let me say something, John. I've done that before. When I had my consulting business, I started out doing that. I needed to get some I was having a tough time in the early days, and I needed some cash flow. And so I would sell a business plan product. Now, my helping a customer develop a business plan was just literally services for me, but I called it a business plan product. I've forgotten the name I gave it, but I actually gave them a price. I said, this is what you'll get for it. This is how much it's going to cost you. I need half that up front. And you know what? They did it.
Yeah. And in my business, we offered research, and we named the product, the syndicated research product. We charged for it up front on a subscription basis, and so it was, you know, $30,000 or $40,000 a year. So every time a customer bought, that was an injection of capital into our business, allowed us to finance the growth. The other way to do it is to really get your customers to co-invest alongside with you. So for some of your customers, they may feel so passionately that you can supply them with a product or service that you don't offer today, then you can get them to to invest to help you co-develop it. I mean, if you go all the way back to the origins of Microsoft, you know, Bill Gates got IBM to finance some of the development of what became the original operating system Windows. Because IBM wanted the platform, and Bill Gates said, sure, we'll develop it for you. You'll get first rights to use it, but over time, we'll retain the ownership of it.
Right.
And so that's another strategy.
Right. There's no question about it. Yeah, and I've done that too. I've said to a customer, I've taken them an idea, and I said, this is something I want to develop, and I want to scale this, but I'm going to give you, and I would literally say, you'll have this a year before anybody else gets it, but I need you to be my partner to get it developed. And I've gotten a write-up check for me for that.
Yeah. And the third way to do it, Jim, I think, is to be laser focused on what you're doing. I think a lot of small businesses are really good at what they do. They get a customer to buy, and the customer asks them to provide more and more services outside of their core competency. And because they see in the eye of the entrepreneur this passion, this deliver a great service,
right,
that, you know, that they want to buy more. And the business buys, starts to sell way too many products and services. And, of course, that eats up capital, trying to develop lots of different services. So I'm a big believer in, instead of selling lots of things to a few customers, focus on selling a few things to a lot of people. It's a very subtle, but I think critical change to financing the growth of your company. Sell a few things to lots of customers as opposed to selling lots of things to a few customers.
You know, my grandmother would have called that stick to your knitting.
You bet. And she was a smart lady, because it helps you finance the growth of your business.
Yeah, well, there's no question about it. And it keeps your organization. This is the main thing to realize is that the more things, and you and I are not saying just do one thing. We're just saying identify the handful of things, you know, that you do really well, because that's what people want from you. If they wanted everything, they'd go to Walmart, wouldn't they?
They would, but the tempting thing, Jim, I think, is because customers are asking, the business owners think, oh, well, I've got to be customer-centric, or I've got to listen to my customers, therefore I need to follow them. And you know, Steve Jobs was famous for saying, you know, nobody thought they wanted 1,000 songs in their pocket until we developed the iPod. And customers, your customers aren't they shouldn't be driving your business, in my mind. I think customers are important to your business, but they shouldn't be setting the vision for what you provide.
Right.
Because if you do that, it's going to be the tail wagging the dog. They're going to move you in directions that you don't necessarily want to go or have any business going.
John, hold on to that thought. Quick website. What's your website quickly, please?
ValueBuilderSystem.com.
Check it out. And when we come back, we're going to talk about, John's going to help you develop more sales, get more business. How about that? 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.